Hi. You're listening to Midlife on Fire. This is CK Love. I wanted to discuss a little bit about menopause and the physical aspect of menopause. When I was going through perimenopause into menopause and postmenopause, there were a lot of changes in my body. Especially because I noticed because when I was in my early years, my early adulthood, I worked out a lot, and not a lot like obsessively, but a lot so I kept healthy and kept aesthetically the way that I wanted to look, of course. And as we go through, perimenopause, as I went through perimenopause, I kept up the intensity of my workouts. And in fact, I intensified it even more because I did Ashtanga yoga, and Ashtanga yoga is a very intense yoga, needed to be because it is. The focus on breath and movement is really acute. It's really something that they that the, you know the practice just asks for it. So let's say it's a very masculine practice as opposed to a feminine practice. So I knew that perimenopause, I mean, I was having hot flashes because of how intense the work was in Ashtanga yoga, and I taught it, I practiced it, I always did it, and so so I had to slow down in perimenopause into menopause into postmenopause. But what really slowed me down was the fact that I broke my foot. In 2017, I think it was, and it really didn't heal, and I didn't feel right on it for a long time. As you know, in yoga, you do turn your foot, and it was my ankle, my outer ankle, and a little chip was pulled away from the bone because of the tendon. And so what happened is that it needed to fuse back onto the bone. So it was always precarious to kind of stretch that tendon. I always felt a little bit wary of doing too much. So, I slowed down my practice, and as I slowed down my practice, the pandemic hit just soon after that, and then because it took 2 years for me to actually feel right about doing. A full practice. And then, already at that point, because I'm in postmenopause, already at that point, it's really difficult to get back the energy, get back the muscle mass that I lost during those years of healing. So then, the pandemic hit, and so after the pandemic, everything was lost, the impetus to work out, the to do yoga, to do anything like that. And then I realized that I was gaining weight, I was bloating, I was having those symptoms, which to most of us are not welcome, and they're not they don't make us happy, and it's really depressing. And so what I usually do is do research and try to figure out what was going on. And the first thing I found out, the first thing that you're not told by anybody, only now, is that it's a symptom of losing hormones and not about necessarily what you're eating, or how you're exercising. And I do believe that it's a combo of both, the weight gain in menopause, but definitely losing estrogen and your hormones then enacts other things in your body. And one thing is your, you know, if you do too much, say, for instance, if I were to practice yoga the way I was at the beginning, Ashtanga yoga, the way I was at the beginning, I would trigger my cortisol. And cortisol, you know, if it spikes, it's too, you gain weight. And if it's too low, you lose weight, I think, or vice versa. You guys can check. But it is cortisol that, that fluctuates. And, so, you know, so you think that you could take supplements for that. And there are some out there that claim to do that, but, I didn't really notice a big difference. The other thing too, is the whole thing around adrenal glands, and that if you exhaust your adrenal glands because you're working out too hard, like you did in your 20s and your 30s, and even into your 40s, if you're doing it the same way, you're actually not doing what you need to do when you get to this stage, the late perimenopause into menopause into postmenopause. So I had to change the way that I approached working out, but I still couldn't get my energy up. I still couldn't, you know, I was doing yoga every day, but it still wasn't the kind of energy that I had. And I was exhausted, really and truly, I was exhausted. So I did a little bit more research, and on TikTok, there's this woman who's a doctor, Dr. Gabriel, and I don't have her last name, but she's on TikTok, and she's a menopausal specialist. And she, you know, gave a few articles or showed a few articles behind her on the TikTok screen. And so I quickly jotted them down and played her video a few times to get all of them. And I just wanted to read from a few of them. I mean, she was responding to fitness trainers, and why she was responding to them was because I think they were saying that don't discourage women in menopause to work out and, you know, reach goals and that kind of thing. And what she was responding to them was that she's not discouraging women. What she wants to do is educate physical trainers, especially men who have really no concept around menopause because no one's taught it. And the first thing to understand about training a woman is to change the attitude of aesthetics to the attitude of health. Women, when we gain weight and if we find that we're losing control of it, can develop risk of cardiovascular disease, CVD. So she was saying that, you know, change the attitude to prevention and health and well-being, as opposed to aesthetics. That's the first thing. And then the second thing was, is that to know that there's a difference between subcutaneous fat and visceral fat. And this is the first time I heard about visceral fat. In fact, subcutaneous fat is the fat that you can lose, right? That's the weight loss. But the visceral fat is the kind of fat that is actually in the abdominals and underneath the ribs, and is the kind of fat that you don't lose. And so I think depending on your genetics depends on how much you have of visceral fat in your body and in which places. And if you look at bodies, you'll know that no matter how much, especially women, but also men, work out, there will be a little bulge somewhere, somehow, that we're always trying to lose, but it's visceral fat. And so when I heard that, that really helped me change my mindset, because I always thought and never understood why, when I was in, you know, in the first throes of perimenopause, I was working out like crazy. I was skinny, and you guys know, if you've listened to me enough, that I did not have any boobs at all. I mean, I could show you pictures, no boobs. But the thing that I had was this little tiny little bulge in my mid belly, my lower belly, actually, my lower belly. And there was no way I could ever have six pack abs. No way. I mean, I tried. And so hearing that about visceral tissue really made me feel that I could shift my mindset from aesthetics to health. So there's this article, and it's very short because it's a medical review that is announcing how they're thinking about these sorts of issues for women. So there's an abstract in the abstract. So the title of the thing goes, this little article goes, adverse changes in body composition during the menopausal transition in relation to cardiovascular risk, a contemporary review. Abstract. The menopausal transition period in aging women is strongly associated with weight gain. Evidence shows that weight changes during menopause increases the risk of developing cardiovascular disease, CVD, in postmenopausal women. However, the potential mechanisms that cause weight gain and adverse changes to body composition, specifically during the menopausal transition period, remain to be elucidated. In this contemporary review, we examine recent evidence for adverse changes in body composition at midlife during the menopausal transition and the link to increased CVD risk, and described factors that may contribute to these changes, including normal chronological aging, hormonal factors, decreased estrogen, etc., behavioral factors, changes in diet, physical activity, or other emerging factors, i.e., sleep. This review focused on identifying factors that make the menopausal transition period a critical window for prevention of CVD. Future study is needed to decipher the extent to which hormonal changes, age-related factors, and behavioral factors interact with and contribute to increased CVD risk in women undergoing menopause. Understanding the causes of weight gain during the menopausal transition may help to inform strategies to mitigate adverse CVD outcomes for women transitioning through menopause. So that's that little abstract. And then it has, stuff that you can, references that you can click on and so on. For me, what was interesting was that I found out that the way that women in menopause and even before menopause, depending on the fluctuations of your hormones, depends on how you gain weight. And the reason why is because, very simply, fat produces estrogen. So it's good to eat good fats, like avocados, for instance, or olive oil. So that was eggs, that was a really interesting thing for me to understand as well, that I wasn't hating my fats as much as we are told to. Oh man, society, what they do to women. It just boggles the mind. But I wasn't hating my fat anymore. I was understanding that it's needed in order to keep me healthy, osteoporosis, and so on. So anyway, that's one of the things, the articles. The other article, which I will read a little bit from, just the abstract, is called, it's in the same National Library of Medicine. You could go to it. A menopause review. Obesity in menopause are negligence or an unfortunate inevitability. So the abstract is, numerous concerns about menopause exist among women, and fear of an increase in body weight is one of the most important of them. So again, you know, my fear of gaining weight was aesthetic, but in actual fact, I should reassess my mindset. I should reset my mindset to understand that that I need to keep obesity or gaining weight in check because of CVD. So this paper presents an overview of current knowledge concerning the etiology of obesity related to menopause and during and about the mechanisms of its development, with particular regard to hormonal changes that occur during this period of life. So important, this whole thing about hormonal changes. The role of estrogens in the regulation of energy balance and the effect of sex hormones on metabolism, adipose tissue and other organs are present. The consequence of the sharp decline in the secretion of estrogens with subsequent relative hyperandrogenemia is briefly discussed. The main intention of this review is to clarify what is inevitable and what perhaps results from negligence and unhealthy lifestyles. In the last part of the paper, the possibilities of counteracting the progress of adverse changes in body composition by promoting beneficial lifestyle modifications and the use of hormonal substitution treatment in cases where it is reasonable and possible are described. Now, I have a bit of a problem with the idea of negligence and unhealthy lifestyle, you know, describing that as part of the problem. I mean, I know that anyone with an unhealthy lifestyle or is negligent around their eating habits and lifestyle would gain weight. So I'm kind of taking a bit of offense to that. But I know that slowing down, because, you know, as you get into menopause, you know, you have not as much energy as you did when you were just, you know, 5 years ago. So to me, it's more about being aware of your progress in life physically. I know a lot of people aren't as acutely aware as I am of their physicality, and I had become very aware just because of practicing yoga. So, and of working out. When I worked out, when I was doing some stuff, you know, I would, you know, I would pull something just out of nowhere. And this is in my 30s, not even in my 40s and 50s. So, you know, I was aware that I had a little bit of scoliosis in the lower part of my spine. I was aware of that. I never knew. I went to chiropractors for a long, long time. I went to a back doctor who told me I would be in pain for the rest of my life and gave me a bottle of ibuprofen and sent me on my way. You know, these are the things that we encounter as women, especially in the medical profession, who just like go, who either try to fix it but don't really know how to fix it, like some of the chiropractors I went to, or just outright dismiss it like most medical professionals. So when I started to do yoga, when I started to do Ashtanga, I practiced to the point where I had to stop because I had a hole in my spine. And a hole in my spine because one vertebra was going one way and the other vertebra was going another way. So they were twisting. And so what happened then was not to quit, but to realize that slowing down, recognizing what I'm doing Because when you go to yoga, and I will say this, when you go to yoga from a Western point of view, when you go to yoga from working out or, you know, doing Western kind of sports, if you approach it in the same mindset, yoga will not help you. You will get, you know, in your early adulthood, yes, you will get a lot out of it because you've got all that energy and your injuries will heal if you get injured, if you pull something. But I had to slow down to the point where I actually started to know what I was doing inside my body, not only outside my body. And so I became acutely aware of all the changes that I went through. And so I will encourage women, and if you want to ask me about it, I am totally open to show you a few things. But really, becoming aware of how your body is changing through time as you age will help you along the way, because things will start to make sense. If somebody says something, it'll click, and somebody is telling you that it's all your fault and it's just your lifestyle, you'll know to ignore it. So that's why I encourage women especially to be really, you know, try to focus inward when you do and do yoga, because you can't focus inward when you are working out. I know, I've tried. I went back to working out, just so you know, I went back to working out and just trying to build up my energy, trying to build up my heart rate and my strength in my legs again and strength in my arms, and trying to do that. But I know what works for me in the class and I know what doesn't work for me in the class. And especially because of my scoliosis, it's really hard when you're doing fast movements in these classes. It's really hard to adjust, to align your body. That's why yoga is good. It's really easy to slow down and align your body and find a way to do that. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say. And then there's another article called Changes in Abdominal Subcutaneous Adipose Tissue Phenotype, following menopause is associated with increased visceral fat mass. And so the visceral fat mass, I learned, was the interior fat mass that I mentioned earlier. So you can look for that that as well. I won't read anymore because I'm going way over time, but I just wanted to share with you a bit of my experience of going through menopause and weight gain and just how I was negotiating it and getting back to health and getting back to a new mindset, because luckily we are becoming smarter out there. You know, we know that the visceral fat is not a fat that can be lost. And so, you know, we have to talk about this. If you go to, you know, a trainer, you have to talk about this and tell them to do some research, and ask and go and do training. Either do classes or do the stepper or even do treadmill, going for walks, like leisurely walks. I don't know if it does the same thing. I think maybe some sort of determined walk is a little bit better, but you know, because it doesn't work on me, you know, a nice leisurely walk doesn't work for me unless it's really long. I think that duration also plays into it. Subcutaneous fat, of course. Bloating also is about losing our estrogens and and not knowing how sugar plays into that. So, you know, cutting down on sugars, and that sort of thing. So anyway, I hope this is a bit helpful for all my midlife on fire cohorts, and I just hope that this helps you out. Please look for those articles, especially about the difference between subcutaneous and visceral fat mass. And let me read the title of another one. Accelerating gains in abdominal fat during menopause tied to heart disease risk. And then menopausal hormone therapy is associated with reduced total and visceral adiposity, the osteolouse cohort. I think what they're trying to research there is whether hormone therapy actually can reduce visceral fat, which I'm not sure if it can, because subcutaneous fat is the thing that is lost. I don't know if you can lose visceral fat. But anyway, all of this is very fascinating to me. I'm going to close my tabs now that I've read them all, and live my life accordingly, because it's good to love your fat. So, you know, go to a class. Go to, I'm going to go do some boxing tomorrow morning. So go out and be a badass. And thank you for listening once again. And I'll talk to you real soon. Okay, bye for now. Now I'm electric.